Okay, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular business meeting of Thursday, June 28th, 2012. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? We don't have any kids here tonight to lead it, so we've got to do it on our own. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, just a couple of quick notes on the agenda. First, I would like to take out Q on the superintendent's report and make it a separate item if we could. I need to abstain from that particular item, and I would prefer to just abstain from one item instead of the whole section. So if we could make Q a separate item. And then there is a change to the on the treasurer action items. The TIF transfer funds are different. We do? Oh, no. Okay, so the permanent improvement levy, that number was $766,000. It is now $546,783.36. Do you need to catch up?
Yeah.
Second page? Page two?
Okay, there we go.
So the permanent improvement levy was $766,000. It is now $546,783.36. And the bond retirement number is now $1,986,763.05. Can you read that?
I cannot.
Okay, other than that, was there any other changes or additions, deletions from the agenda?
There was a correction on the minutes.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah. The high point, it should have been Mr. Lassiter, and it had Mrs. Devine.
Oh, of course. A good report.
So that's probably
that probably was.
We'll just make a note of that when we get to the minutes. Okay, if there's no other changes, then I need a motion to accept the agenda as changed.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. First up is the superintendent's report. First, I'd like to welcome our new superintendent, Diane Mankins. This will be her first meeting, first of many meetings.
That's right.
So, do you have anything to report to the board this evening?
A couple things. I'll keep it brief. I think included in your packet were the preliminary results from the OAA and OGT. So I just wanted to hit those and let you know that we are very pleased. It does appear that we met all the academic indicators. Graduation rate, we're still finagling and checking into that a little bit. But I did want to let you know that we are very pleased with those preliminary scores. So understand that ins and outs and all those things need to be calculated into those numbers.
Okay.
But we are very pleased with where we are.
And the final numbers come out?
Well, interestingly enough, there's already a postponement in our cleanup data till the beginning of next week. So our window to clean up is shortening. So
nice.
Yeah.
I think I also saw it.
Until the 20th.
So kind of moved things
a little bit
back. Mm-hmm. So can I not commit to a date?
Oh, sure.
I think that would be we just know even with our October data, it didn't even come around. So
okay.
I would hate to commit, but that will, it can't be too long because that will be our report card data. But our window in order to clean up some of those pieces will be shortened, it appears.
Okay.
And also, next week we will be interviewing our applicants for assistant superintendent, so just to keep you in the loop for that, that process is underway.
How many applicants do we have?
Total applicants approaching 30.
Oh, wow.
In that range. Some didn't totally complete the application, the kind of pieces that you probably experienced, but very pleased with the candidate pool that's come through. Very pleased.
Good.
They must all want to work with you.
That's right. Superstar. They signed up right away.
Okay, did you have anything else?
That's it.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Next up is our treasurer's report from our treasurer.
And there's a lot today. So, first thing we want to talk about a little bit is we are at the point of looking at our technology for next year and where we're at and projects that we need to do. And so I'm just going to pass out some information. But the thing that we just need a little explanation or help
direction.
Direction from the board is on our whether to lease or not to lease, and your thoughts on that, and just so that we can go over the what we're looking at as part of our projects for the technology. And Dave Wells, the technology director's here, so ask him any of that, because I don't know the technical stuff. I just told him I'd talk about it for him. Is we're looking at routers and switches for the back end of all the good stuff that we have to do. Wireless endpoints at the high school, probably the high school, middle school, board office, Creekview, and I think that's it. Maybe the old middle school, too.
We're looking at a couple different proposals. One of them from Cisco only provides in their initial assessment enough to do high school, Bunsell, Creekview board office, and then some at the old middle school, with the plan of taking the existing wireless that we currently have, which is end of sale, end of life, can't buy any more parts for it, pulling that stuff back and using it in the elementaries where there really isn't a need for wireless right now. But if we put it in there, you know, we can start offering more services with the older product, with the intention of expanding that to cover, you know, for one manufacturer platform across the entire district.
And then the other part of that is new telephone system. Our phone system here in the district is end of life, and it has been breaking down, so we could be at some point without any phone system in need of emergency, and we don't want to be that way. So what we've given you here is just what the different projects were, or the different companies. Also being part of the COG, the city and the county are doing Cisco, their phone system, their routers and everything is a Cisco system, Cisco solution. So we've sort of looked at that as that probably may be our best bet, but it's also our most expensive. The other part with that is that Cisco also offers us grants, and those grants could be for phone, for the wireless. I read through the grant information, and talking with Greg Stubbs today, I said, you know, I think the wireless would be a great grant if we could get even half of it. So that would help with the cost of that. So with that, all of this will come out of our PI levy. And that, so I have done redone the calculations for the PI levy. And with that, we did close out on yesterday morning, so we're into fiscal year 13, so we have actual numbers in here for this year. As you can see, in fiscal year 13, now the budget, we've got $710,000. The $10,000 is for some athletic equipment for the safety at Bunsell, football helmets and pads that they no longer can use because they're over 10 years old. So we needed to put a little bit in there for that. And then the $700,000 is what we first thought was what we thought we'd need for this technology project this year, this summer. So as you can see, going through this, we're still in good shape, not knowing exactly what our projects are going to be through fiscal year 17, except for the definite items that we're looking at are in the blue. And we've redone the amount for the transfer outs. That's based on the current information. Okay. Second page is the forecast with our refinancing. And the refinancing, the green shows that we're dropping at $500,000 the transfer out payments, because the bonds we're thinking that we can save $500,000 the first 3 years, so that'd be fiscal year 13, 14, and 15, and then another $300,000 in fiscal year 16. So we're hoping by 17, which would be give us our fifth year out, we'll still have maybe $500,000, but we may not. So this is just an estimate. So by doing that, we're in really in good shape. So if we add the $400,000 extra for the telephone systems through Cisco at the $1.2 million, you can see we're right back to where we are right now with that refinancing and going back. So to me, leasing is a great alternative if you don't have the cash. Otherwise, what we figured on Cisco would be about an extra $40,000. I think we can use that $40,000 for textbooks or other things.
What's the lease length?
5 years.
5 years.
They'll do either a 3 or a 5 year. Mm-hmm. And then a dollar payout. So it would be our equipment at the end.
So would there be, since we're involved in the COG, after everything is set up, the infrastructure and everything you're going to do, would it decrease our cost at that point?
There is possibility based on the amount of equipment that we have to buy to support the district that there would be, just using wireless as an example. The wireless controllers from Cisco they come with the ability to support up to 500 access points. Based on the Cisco proposal, they're estimating 700. I think that's a high number. But even at that, with two controllers, we would have 300 APs or so that we could add in for the city and the county, so therefore they could buy into our solution.
But they haven't actually come out and done a site audit, though, have they? Or have
As
they?
Part of this proposal, it is included to do a site
audit. I'm saying, though, but they're saying 700, but they actually haven't come out and done
All
a site audit.
All that they've done is looked at our building drawings and...
kind of guesstimated?
There's software that goes through and estimates based on, the materials in the walls and thickness of the walls and things of that nature. But the best way to do it is to actually have them come out and do a site survey. So their estimate, their maximum is 700. That's basically one access point in every single classroom. Plus...
And that's as many as that system will do, or is that as many as they told us we would need?
That's as many as they said that we should need.
Right, but that was my question.
Sorry.
Is that as many that... Can it do more access points? Can it's scalable?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'd be...
Up
so
to 1,000 as well.
Well, that's what I'm asking. If we're going to talk about, going to the COG and if we're going to do some wireless
sure.
for them...
Yeah.
We can do some cost sharing in that point and for that equipment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any thinking as to if you would switch to the Cisco phones, re-examining where all you have phones and, places
the
you might need
them? The Cisco proposal, for the most part, we have, there's a phone in every single classroom, for safety and security standpoint.
Right.
With the IP telephone system proposals we looked at, we looked at putting the most inexpensive telephone that we could in the classrooms. And I think the proposal was, ended up coming down to maybe a little less than $50 a phone for classroom phones.
And that's not where the real cost with the support that they give you as opposed to the phones?
It's just the sheer amount of equipment. We have almost 1,000 telephones in this district. So that's the main cost. If we were able to cut back on the number of phones, we could save money. However, I was very surprised on the cost of the telephone system project in and of itself. I had gotten bids just for the telephone system upwards of about $350,000. The Cisco proposal came in anywhere between $260,000 and $290,000. And I was very shocked on that. The maintenance costs for this entire project initially were estimated to be, I think you had calculated it, about $88,000
right.
a year. I went back to the vendor and I said, "There's no way. That's way too high." Working on a couple different things, looking at it, we don't need to cover carry maintenance on telephones. We don't need to carry maintenance on access points. Those are on the shelf replacements.
Right.
If we have one that goes bad, we send it out for repair. We grab one off the shelf and we replace it. It's not a big deal. We cut our maintenance costs by half. So it's somewhere in the range of $35,000 to $40,000 a year.
Now, is the city and county using the same system that we're going to use?
The city and county are actually sharing a telephone system that the county already owns. So the county is upgrading their system to allow the city onto it. We could have jumped into that aspect of it, but there's some licensing issues where when entities start sharing a Cisco telephone system, it's basically you throw all your licenses into a bucket and you use what you have in there. The problem comes when, if there's ever a need to separate, then between the entities, you got to figure out who owns what. The cost for us to have our own Cisco telephone system but still linked with the city and county is about $35,000. So it's very minimal to be able to have our own hardware that we can manage our own licenses, manage our own configuration without having to worry about somebody else going in and monkeying around.
You were talking about the bids, Cisco being the highest, or some of the other.
In the packet, there is the information.
I had provided some of that. I went through and evaluated the four proposals that we got. Out of the four proposals, Cisco and HP, technology-wise, would be my selections. HP has come a long way from their past products. To the point, and the main reason I was looking at HP is their warranty program. Problem with HP is that they also don't offer a telephone system. So it would just cover the switching and the wireless. We'd still have to go back out, and we could still do a Cisco telephone system. But now we're looking at managing two different manufacturers, two different vendors. If it's possible to get one manufacturer for ease of use, that's great. But based on the cost, we can definitely do that. The other proposals came in from Avaya and Dell. And the Dell proposal, they didn't even propose their own wireless solution. They proposed somebody else's. And then a third telephone system.
Yeah.
So then you got pieces, parts from everywhere else.
Looking at it from that standpoint, I wasn't very happy. And then Avaya was able to offer all of the services, but looking at some of the reviews, and I handed Cindy a packet there. Yeah, as a Gartner review of all of the manufacturers, Gartner wasn't real high on Avaya. I wasn't real impressed with some of the products that they had. So
yeah, it looks like they're middle of the road at best on the chart.
Cisco and HP are at the top of that list there. And I feel very confident either way that you go. I would prefer to go Cisco because based on some of the demonstrations and some of the discussions that we had, and I think Doug, you were there for that presentation that they'd come.
I missed it.
No, you were there. You were there later in the afternoon. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
They have the ability, and a lot of the Cisco proposal has it built in, for us to start being able to, instead of doing DVD players and VCR players, to start providing a lot of streaming video down to the teachers' computers to be able to be used on whiteboards and things of that nature. We could also start doing a lot of video conferencing between the school district and, let's say, Honda or Scotts, and being able to do some video field trips.
So we could also start doing that video conferencing within the district, right? So if you're having a meeting, so we wouldn't have to get...
You could even video record this meeting if you'd like.
Well, that's not great. It's got to get crazy.
And our new website vendor on their
website. The Cisco proposal gives us the ability. It's basically a foundation is what you're looking at. And once we have that foundation in place, we can build on it in a lot of different ways to be able to do a lot of things we just don't have the capability of doing now.
Gotcha. Now just go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Have you talked to anybody who already uses this system?
I've seen a lot of this just from my past dealings. The video stuff, I have not had the ability to have conversations with anyone else on. The presentation that was made with Cisco, they had a educator, and I think that Carla was there.
Yeah.
His name's Dr. Lance Ford. He's out of someplace in Oklahoma, and he gave a very, very well, a very good presentation in regards to all of the video, the possibilities with video, learning management systems such as Moodle and things of that nature to allow students to start working and integrating technology into their classroom activities. So it was a very good presentation.
That sounds like a challenge for our superintendent.
So are you okay if we do not lease and just go with the purchasing of it and go? Or if you want me to...
I mean, it doesn't change our PI projection.
No.
I mean, I'm okay. It seems to save us money on not having to pay interest on the lease.
Exactly. Okay. So that's where we're at.
And when does that project get started?
There's three different phases to it. The first phase we can hopefully try to get done over the summer, which is just replacing the network switches. That's done in the closets of all the buildings, so nobody really notices or sees anything different. Telephone system's a little tricky, and with some of the changes that we've got going on by migrating over to PowerSchool, I don't want to replace a telephone system because I'd have every building calling my office and wanting to rip my arms and legs off.
How would they call you?
I think we're looking at a telephone system probably over winter break, if not, you know, maybe a little bit after that, so it'd be phased into the school year.
And then when does that video streaming capabilities come into play?
Well, it's not one that we've priced out. We know that we have the capability of doing that. So once we get all of this other equipment in place, we can start looking at it and start figuring out, you know, start doing trials.
Sure.
So
okay. So it sounds like everybody's okay with All right, okay. That's the direction you needed.
Great. That way we will not lease. We will keep going. This next piece is on the Board of Revisions and where we're at with the Board of Revisions and the Coleman's Crossing TIF and Citygate. And Citygate, this all started right when I started here. I mean, or before I started. And the first meeting I ever went to was on the TIF, and I'm like, what are we talking about? So I've learned a lot in the last 2.5 years about TIFs and what we have at Citygate and Coleman's Crossing and the base of the values of the TIFs in those properties. The information that you have in front of you is attorney-client privileges between us and our attorneys, the six, seven of us sitting at this table. But we can talk about it. We just can't share what's in our information here. We can't share the actual documents. This all started back in 2009 when they thought that the TIF base was not valued properly. And so we started asking questions. The city needed to bring that base up to help pay for the TIF loans that they had, the bond debt, and all that they had on those parcels. So we agreed with the city, and we hired Sam Coons as an appraiser and did all that appraisal information. And through that, we went to Board of Revision in 2010 for the 2009 values, and then a lot of those we were able to settle on, and some of them we were not. The amounts in 2009, we increased the values by over $14 million. And if we looked at just the distribution of the inside millage for us, that would be $65,000. Then in 2010, we went to Board of Revisions on some of those, and we were able to save those. We were able to retain tax dollars at $159,000 over that, and we increased our overall tax dollars by another $17,000. These are dollars that are now, because of those increases, that's why our TIF is up. The payments are up for us.
Just ask some questions. So
yeah.
This is the whole area over there.
It's the whole area.
Okay.
Each parcel, we would have to do a board. We had to file a complaint on each parcel within that area, but we filed it on every piece of parcel in the Coleman's Crossing for 2009. Then in 2010, we didn't file many, but Citygate owners filed against what we did and had already settled upon.
Now they filed with the Board of Revisions.
Yes, they filed with the Board of Revision. If you are a taxpayer or a property owner within the county, you can file on any property in the county.
I see.
on anybody. It doesn't have to be your property. It can be on any property. It has to be done by an attorney, so that's why we have to have the attorney's fees. So overall, the project, by doing this, has netted the district and the city quite a bit and got us to where our values are.
Can I ask real quick, did the district do it, or did we do it in with the city?
We did it in conjunction with the city. Okay. The city is not allowed by law to file Board of Revision claims. Only the school districts are. So that's why we had to file the claims.
I see.
So it's just one of those quirky tax laws that we end up, you know, doing what we have to do. But overall, this has been very beneficial for the district and all.
What was the total dollars, do you think?
Oh, probably savings and everything, I'd say close to $200,000,
okay,
or more, just by keeping our tax base where it's at. Some of them are going to the BTA, which is at the State House. The Board of Tax Appeals is 3 to 5 years behind.
And why would it go there? I mean, did it get...
Either one of the parties appealed it. In the packet, you'll see it says on appeal by BTA to BTA by either the Board of Education or property order, or or. So that gives the
idea. So the Board of Regents.
Board of Revision is the county auditor, the county auditor, the county treasurer, and one commissioner, county commissioner.
Okay.
That's the Board of Revision.
Okay.
So they're the ones that do that. If you disagree with that, you can appeal that to the Board of Tax Commission or the Board of Tax Appeals. And then at some time, it goes back to the...
So they ruled, at least at this one point, that they're comfortable with the values. They think
right.
The values are correct.
Right. They'll either say, yes, we have to... Part of them in 2009, we agreed to, we settled, and so we had to file again, because the county auditor did not set them at that rate, at the rate that we settled for. She set them at the lower rate for 2010. So we refiled. We had to. We had to get them back to where they were.
Sure.
So that's where. This year, now we're in 2011. You're always a year behind on your taxes. So you're always a year behind. So we're always a year behind. So now we're filing on. And we filed a few, not too many this year. We had several. We had a lot of homeowners. We did not file counter complaints on them.
We typically don't for homeowners.
No, we do not. We do not file counter complaints. And you can file a complaint if you feel that your taxes are $17,000 more, or usually
or more.
Right? Yeah, or more.
That's the minimum. Right?
Yeah, the minimum is 17.
What is
that? We'll know about. They can file.
What are the attorney fees on these?
The attorney fees right now, what it costs, we split the cost of Sam Coons, and that was $18,950. That was what our cost was. And as of April, we paid out $40,852.
And that's from the very start of all this?
Yeah, back to, we went back to 11 of 2010. Yeah. So, yeah.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Back to 2011, November of 2010. Went back to. So, yeah. So, that's why those were part of the attorney fees. Sam Coons was figured in our attorney's fees during the last two fiscal years. So, but he did an excellent job. I've got a lot of the copies of the appraisals and all, and they're interesting to read. They really are. Learned a lot about that kind of stuff. More so than I ever wanted to. So, and then,
was there any questions on that? Or
so, if I look through here, I can see where
you can
we're
see
at.
Exactly. See
okay.
Yeah, and if you've got any questions, just give me a call.
Awesome.
And I would just ask real quick, where does the Common Pleas come into the process?
Common Pleas comes
there?
In after they go to the tax appeal.
So it's after BTA?
I think it's after BTA.
It goes back to Board of Revisions. And then
no, it does not go to Board of Revisions.
Oh, you can just say at that point, I want to appeal to the
Common Pleas, yeah, I think.
And that's 3 years down the road?
Yeah, it could be. I know there was a couple that went already to the Common Pleas, and I'm not real sure how that one works. But I know the one's been dropped. I think you saw that.
I think
I'm no lawyer.
Yeah.
So I saw the motion, but that doesn't mean anything.
It seems to me that I had read something in one of the legislative reports where the governor was trying to do something to get the Board of Tax Appeals.
Yeah, they're trying to get
streamlined to get things moving quicker.
Yeah, they are.
Because it was so disjointed.
What is the revenue that we get when we're in this process? Is it
The value is set at the time with the auditor.
Okay.
So if it goes up, we'll get back taxes on it. If it goes down, then we'll have to pay, or they'll pay it out of our, take it out of our tax.
And really, even if we win some of those, I mean, we've been known to negotiate some of those back taxes, you know, something reasonable.
Yeah.
As I think some of you may be aware of, at least one case, anyways.
Yeah.
You are.
So that's where those are at. Okay. Now, like I said, we are closed for the year, so I thought I'd just update everybody on where we ended up the year.
This isn't part of your action items, is it?
No, it is not.
All right.
No, it's not.
Yes.
So the comparison on the May approved forecast and the actual, I'm just going to highlight some real quick ones. Line 1.040, restricted grants and aids. Ed Jobs, we did not get our last payment that we requested, so that's why that's down a little bit, and then we'll get the rest of that in July and August.
So that'll show up on next year's?
Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. We didn't have it coming in for next year. Our advances in, and the advance in and the advance out, I looked at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, what'd they do? But it's because our Ed Jobs are part of our 5-year forecast. They're also part of our SM2, and I about had a heart attack looking at it. But so you never usually see, if you got an advance in or an advance out of general fund, you don't have it coming back in general fund or into your forecast. But because Ed Jobs is part of the forecast, you do this time. So that's what those are. And then the employee retirement benefits line 3.020, it was higher, ended up being higher just because of people taking different benefit packages and some payouts of other benefit packages. And then our open enrollment and that was higher than what we thought, and also that's where our payment for the interim superintendent was at instead of in the salary. So
why is our purchase services so much higher?
Our open enrollment went up by almost $200,000 for the number of students than what we thought.
Okay.
So that's where that's at. And then our supplies are down quite a bit from what we thought. And I looked at it, and we don't have a whole lot out there in open purchase orders either. So we need to really look at that for next year. And Diana, I've already talked about that. So we'll be looking at that and going over a few things there. So that's where I'm at on that.
Any questions on that?
And what's the concern there when you said that you need to look at that just in terms of spending more realistic, or are we not spending what we should?
We are not spending like what we've got appropriated, right? And our appropriations right now for next year in supplies is like $1.5 million. So do we really need appropriated $1.5 million for supplies?
I would imagine a lot of things that you typically would have printed out is being sent electronically now.
Our printing costs are high too, but
I mean, more and more things, you know, as a parent, you're receiving electronically as opposed to.
And so we just need we need to look at that and really study that.
Now you didn't change the way. Did you change the process by which they put those POs in? They used to order earlier in the year, and now they're ordering later in the year.
We are ordering so that the supplies come with the year that they're supposed to be for.
Okay, so that was my only question. Is that why you haven't seen those? Is because they're waiting for the first of the fiscal year?
No, I don't think so. They've had that money for this whole school year, so they just didn't need it for this whole school year.
There's not anything from last, like if they put them in last year and got them this year, so you wouldn't see the expense this year. None of that? Okay.
Mm-mm. No, okay. So we're just going
to... And those numbers are set, really, the same way we're doing it for next year, where we kind of assume like a natural increase of 3 or 4%, so maybe that's...
And we don't need that, so if we don't need that, even you're looking at maybe $300,000 that we can cut out of this coming year's budget, so we'll look at it and see where it's at, so I'm going to digest that. Did you want me to talk about website?
Oh yeah, it's on my thing right there.
Okay. Website.
It's my notes.
Okay. We are working on starting a new website with the technology committee. We viewed two companies
We did a plus and a minus. Dave, myself, and Lynette Lewis, the tech. Yeah, she's the principal at NAVA and also the technology committee chair. And we went through that and looked at both of them. Dave really liked the safety and everything about eSchoolView is the name of the company. They have a lot of different school districts in Ohio. They're in, well, Doug got to see the presentations from both of them, too. He was at the meeting. And
I think one of the bigger things that I thought was a plus for them is their integration was better than the other one.
Yeah.
So the other one, we'd have to, like, we're just taking, like, users. We'd have to do, like, a manual load into their system. And then if the users change, we'd have to manually load it again, whereas this other one seemed to have more of that.
Yeah.
Automatic. Really? Yeah, it was kind of
Yikes.
Odd. Yeah. I can't remember all the pros and cons, but I...
But, and they ended up being a lower cost than what the other one is. So overall, you know, when you're looking at a month to monthly cost to use it, they do have a...
Now, who actually is doing the layout?
They will... They do the layout on the back side. They're working on it. They're taking all the content that's in our website right now.
Right.
And they're going to put into a layout of some sort. And then they'll give us, what they say, 2, 3, 4 options, however many we want to look at. And so then we'll get together as a group, probably with administrators. I don't know how Diane would like to do that, but get a big group of people to look at the layout so that we've got an overall good look at, you know, different ideas.
Now, we're doing that. So every school, and I mean, they're all going to be standardized across. So I don't go to every different school, and I can't figure out where in the world I'm at.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big thing I was talking about.
And I would also ask, are we going to put some kind of encouragement for our schools to continually update their websites? There are some schools that update them sometimes, and there are some schools that do not update them very often. So... You know, if we're going to put the funds forward to redo our website, and we're going to encourage our parents and stuff to go use them, then I think we need to encourage our folks to use that as a communication tool.
One of the focuses of the principals for next year, we're going to be talking about at the retreat in August, is communications and being
a little
more streamlined in our communication and a little more standardized in how we communicate.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was neat, and I think both vendors had this, the ability to do surveys through it, so send out surveys and stuff like that. And
we can do updates on our own, right?
Yes.
We don't have to ask a consultant or someone to go make a change to our website.
And the other thing on this one, they have a calendar in there, so we can do a calendar update and everything on it. So
didn't we just do a community calendar now?
Yeah, I just saw it. Yeah,
we did.
It's for the entire
We did,
district.
But we can revamp it and put it right in here and save the cost of that.
Oh, that thing's pretty good. I haven't seen it. I've seen the links. I just haven't had a chance to.
Well, I think it'd be a lot easier to set up. Like, for instance, we talked about the finance committee at one point, talked about a place to put some of their reports and stuff. You can set up a finance committee page pretty easily. I mean, so as the needs grow, it's pretty easy.
That would be nice. It's just hard to find stuff on our website.
It's very cumbersome.
It is. And so that's why I was asking who's doing that design. It's somebody who understands, you know.
Yes, they are doing the design of it.
You know,
and they'll bring, and if we don't like it.
The stick figure guys, you know.
Yeah. I think they'll look pretty neat.
It's a template we're getting, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing the custom design with that. Or
no, we're doing
custom.
The custom.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to have possibly some parents when you have the groups look at the different ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
There are end customers, I would hope.
I think, and it might be great to have some high school kids sit in there as well to talk about different ways that we could use that information at, you know, high school scheduling, all different things can be done in those ways, so trying to engage those students as well.
Well, we also, you know, we saw that presentation from our high school folks about how they're integrating that technology.
Absolutely.
I mean, how can we do that on our website so we're not having to ask them to go, you know, to 5 different sites to do their
things? Exactly. No, and that can be done.
There were some other things that services that I think they could integrate with. I don't remember, like the calls, the calling.
Yeah, the calling system too. They can.
They integrate with.
They can integrate and have their own. We wouldn't have to have that extra integration of the calling system too.
So we've got, there's a lot of things within this system that we can probably, once we get it up and running, we could probably do away with some of the standalone systems that we've got now.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So we can see.
What's their timeline on it?
We're hoping what? I think they said it'd take about 6 to 8 weeks. I don't remember how long.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
Together,
yeah.
Both
yeah. Yeah. We're hoping by mid-November or so. We're hoping.
And they'll convert over all our existing pages. And
yeah.
Actually, the ones that we say that they should convert over, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They'll bring all the content over.
Right.
If we want to get rid of it, then we'll get rid of it.
Well, I'm pretty excited. We've needed that for quite some time, I'll be honest with you. So I think that's going to be a huge, huge help.
Yeah.
All right. I have no more notes. So.
Good.
Not yet. Not for that item. Maybe more later on. All right. So that is the Treasurer's Report. Thank you. The High Point Report.
Sure. yesterday. had a meeting yesterday. The very kind of a typical summer meeting where there wasn't a whole lot going on. But we balanced our budget. So they said they did. I think we talked at the last meeting where their goal is to make sure that expected revenues for next year are greater than the total of standard.
No deficit spending then,
yeah,
right?
No deficit spending. So it was an all hands effort, but they got it to $125,000 in the black. So.
Nice.
And now they're trying to live that way. So everybody's pretty excited about that. This is kind of old news, but my High Point report was meeting was after our last one. Matthew Blum, who was a student in their automotive program out there,
mm-hmm.
Was taking a personal finance class out there as an academic program, and part of that class he had to take a test. And we took the test, and it was a national test, and he scored in the top 20%, which, that's pretty good. And that put him in a running to get an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. to meet the president.
No kidding.
And he was one of two students in the entire country that got selected to go.
Wow. Yeah. So when does he go?
He might have already went by now. What I thought was funny was the way the article read was – that he's going to talk to the president about budgeting and finances. He's actually got to present there, though. I guess they're having a conference out there.
No kidding. Outstanding.
Yeah, you know.
Wow. I hope there's a lot more than the president.
Yeah, I know.
Easy.
And he actually gets to sit down with the president afterwards.
No kidding.
That's pretty neat.
Wow. Yeah. What an opportunity.
The other thing that I don't believe I mentioned before is Clark State. Is taking over the adult ed program out there. That's something we've been talking about for a while. A lot of it's been kind of executive session stuff up until recently. And so that's all inked and the contract signed. Nice. And they are due to take over our HVAC, integrated systems, and health information systems programs by August 2012. And they're going to do it all on campus.
That's what I was going to ask. You don't have to go down to Clark State campus.
Yeah, they're actually going to put a Clark State sign out there, and there's all kinds of benefits that come from it. Clark State, we already had a relationship with Clark State out there. They ran like a burn house out there for fire, I don't know what they call it exactly, but for fire training. One of the benefits is I guess the direction with state grants and stuff now is that your programs, to get the Pell Grants and stuff like that, they have to have credits associated with it.
Oh.
And so they're already set up to do that. They can do it a lot cheaper than High Point can. So there's a lot of, we're kind of ahead of where things are probably headed with career tech. So everybody seems to be pretty excited. They had a guy from Clark State come in and, he talked about how they're excited about it. By the end of next year, they're going to move over the rest of their adult ed programs, including nursing and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, I think the staff is all going to be retained. I want to say, and this is where I'm kind of confused as to whether or not, like I know at least initially the staff will be contracted. It'll still work for High Point, but then they'll be contracted to Clark State. And then they have the option to actually go work for Clark State. So I know one person has done that. But I'm not exactly sure what the long-term plan is there. But yeah, it'll be pretty interesting.
Cool.
And then the only other thing is I went ahead and asked Jeff Price, the about that video for the cyber security. So
cool.
And he did mention that he's looking forward to meeting Diane sometime this summer. So.
He's on my list.
Yeah.
Long and distinguished list that is. Right? All right. Good. Thank you. All right. The legislative report.
Well, the governor signed 13 bills on Monday, one of which was the MBR, which probably everybody's gotten a lot of information about. It seems like the OSBA has been sending a lot of stuff out. And just some of the highlights. There was a Cybersecurity Education and Economic Development Council created, and that was House Bill 331. And the one that we had talked about earlier, House Bill 437, to increase the miles out of state, was signed, and that increased it to 1,000 miles.
Wow.
And then on the MBR, you can stop me if you've read all this stuff, and I don't want to hear it again. But it was just highlighted. One of the promoting the workforce provisions in the MBR. There are stricter rules to make sure students can read and focus on the connecting children with career aspirations. And it primarily focused on educational provisions, but it also contained a number of initiatives related to workforce development. Looking to address the high rate of poverty among developmentally disabled individuals. So they put an Employment First Initiative task force to align state policies with the need of individuals and businesses to promote employment in the community, as opposed to sheltered workshops for those Ohioans. And then, of course, the reading guarantee.
Which starts not this year, but next year, correct? Anybody? It doesn't start this school year. It's next school year, correct? Is that
correct?
Is that about okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
It doesn't have that in here. And then it also addressed some issues with teacher evaluations that were enacted in House Bill 153. And some of those are only teachers who spend 50% of their time or more on instruction are required to undergo the assessments. It exempts substitute teachers. It also endeavors to free teachers from being responsible for the academic growth of students who skip school. Data on students considered habitually truant or have missed 60 or more days will be excluded from an educator's value-added data. And then starting in 2015-2016, any teacher rated ineffective twice must be tested on in his or her subject area. And then address some with charter schools. And they actually defined blended learning. Have you read that in any of your school stuff? Would you like to know what the definition is?
I would, please. They went to so much work to define it.
They did, and I recall reading a lot of stuff. There was a lot of angst, it seemed, about that. The delivery of instruction in a combination of time in a supervised physical location away from home and online delivery whereby the student has some element of control over time, place, path, or pace of learning. So that's what blended learning is defined as.
All right.
And the bill we had talked about before that virtually said nothing about the... Okay, that was just a placeholder bill. It was designed to be generic.
All right.
And so they're going to be hopefully working on this summer actual more information to put in there that they're going to try and pass. They are going to try and pass it by the end of the year, though. So they're going to be having interested party meetings regarding that, to include administration, Department of Education, school district superintendents, boards of education, OSBA, who might be interested in the bill on the A through F rating of school districts. And one interesting thing that happened today, that started today, Representative Amstutz had, I don't know how many, four, six meetings to go over and fully educate the his committee, Appropriations Committee, on school funding.
Oh, yeah, like six meetings.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so today they actually had a first public meeting regarding that. So, and they plan to do that all summer long. which I think is pretty interesting.
Well, if anything comes out of it, it'll be interesting.
Say, what's their final goal? I mean, what is
well, first they have to figure out how it works.
Right. And so these informational sessions are supposed to lay the groundwork for revisions to the system.
But they still don't have any idea of how they want to fix it, or how they want to modify it from where it is now.
Well, today, for instance, the testimony of anybody who was coming was on recommendations and proposals involving funding equity and funding following the child. So they're going to have a different subject at each of these, and their plan is to do them throughout the state. They won't all just be at the State House in Columbus. And so they're trying to get input from people. And I would guess by the amount of presentations that they've had that everyone on this committee understands, you know, how schools are funded and obviously how it's not working. And I don't know of anyone who has tried to do that before. So I thought that was interesting that at least they took all of that time.
They took a great deal of time just to get everybody up to speed.
Right, which I think is certainly beneficial to everyone. So I thought that was kind of exciting that they're going to be doing this, and they're going to, you know, they started today and they're going to be doing it throughout the summer. The other topics, at least they know of at this point, tax policy, the role of technology in regional shared services, human capital management, productivity, performance-based funding, and categorical funding, and weighted student funding. So those are all the different topics that they plan to have at these different open meetings, panel discussions. Has anybody seen the OSBA survey results, school board members?
No.
I did not, but I have it if you're interested.
You don't have to read it to me, but I'd love to see it.
It is interesting on, you know, how many men, how many women, you know, how many have kids. I thought it was interesting, too. So anybody wants to see that, I have that. And that's it.
That's it. All right. Any questions legislatively? All right. Thank you. Next up, I have public participation. John Michael. John Michael. You were going to speak to us about... I can't rap all this.
It's the Stephanie Spielman Gridiron Classic.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
I've asked Michelle Kuhwein, who's the Jonathan Alder Boosters president, to come. She came to our Monarch Quarterback Club meeting. I'm the president this year for the Monarch Quarterback.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, been very busy. We asked her to come. I've known Michelle for years. Her kids played in the Junior Monarchs way back when I used to be the president of that. Coming into this year, I learned about last year's Spielman Gridiron Classic and come find out that they actually won. Jonathan Alder won the whole thing. Got a couple scholarships and stuff out of it. We asked Michelle to come to our meeting last Monday and present what is this about, because we have pretty much a fresh board. A lot of new parents, and what all's involved with it, how does it go, how do we raise money, what does the event look like. This year, our game with Jonathan Alder is August 31st.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second game of the season for us, and it's at home here. So, whereas last year,
it was
Jonathan Alder's place. So, Jeff, you care to jump in?
Well, basically, what this is, to make it really quick, is games that this year there's going to be over 100 football games played through this gridiron. I got involved in it. This will be Jonathan Alder's third time. And last year I chose Marysville because I felt like it could be a strong connection for our two communities. And the reason why I've been out this year doing this is that, yes, we did win. Chris came to our school on May 11th, and it was our school awards day, and he presented two scholarships, which I helped find the two kids to do that, and they got $2,500. And this whole thing that they've done, it goes directly to the Stephanie Spielman Fund for Cancer. There's nothing else involved. There's no big executives or anybody like that. This board is run by Bob Hendricks. He's an attorney in Dublin, and it started, I was at a dinner the other night, it started with four men in a coffee shop, and they had a vision for Chris to do this. Last year, the gridiron raised $53,000. And what basically that they're doing is they've found that working with high school booster groups or quarterback clubs is that half of the money that's raised goes to the Gridiron Classic, the other half of the money stays back in the community and with the clubs. And last year, this is like the T-shirt. This is one of the big fundraising parts of it, is selling the T-shirts, working together, having, we're talking about making a community night at Benny's before, like maybe Wednesday night of the game week, working together on having a raffle between the communities. I've already went and talked to Richwood Bank, because they have locations in Marysville and in Plain City that we could come and work together, you know, all for the common cause. What happens the night at the ball game? Our players took it to a little extreme last year. They came out with jerseys on that said Spielman, and they actually worked for our school district last summer, because we built some new schools, and the football team did moving of the schools. So they packed the schools, put all the stuff in the pods, and unloaded all in the new elementary school. So they made their own money through the school to get their jerseys. And the night of the game, there's a special speaker that comes normally. We line them up, and at our game, it happened to be Madison Spielman, which was Chris and Stephanie's daughter. So she came and talked, and then we played the game with Marysville. Some of the people had pink shirts on because they didn't know the undertaking of this. And then at the end of the game, both teams come together, they kneel down, and if you win the ball game, you get the trophy. Ours is sitting in the locker room that says the Spielman Gridiron Classic. If you're the runner-up, you get that. The winning coach gets to pick an MVP player from the ball game, and then somebody from the gridiron speaks, you know, to the kids. So both teams come to the center and kneel down. And it was a great experience for our school. It's not, you know, working. It's mostly the booster groups doing this. You know, Ohio Athletic knows about it. But I really believe that Marysville and Alder could, you know, make good things happen. And I know that we're on the schedule, I think, at least for 3 more years to play, where we can go back and forth with this thing within the communities. So,
a couple other key things. This is the first of the, kind of picked up on this when you presented our guys. This is the first of the Gridiron Classics that will be going on. So it's kind of the kickoff for Central Ohio. So the chances for
really
some
for
good
the whole for the whole state
coverage, I think, will be really good. And I know last year the quarterback club made $1,771, which is half the profit, half of whatever we make. Half of it goes to the Spielman Fund, and half of it stays with the booster.
And what we were thinking of doing, and to make it easier, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. If anybody been on that, it's where all the Buckeyes come together. We fill an entire cruise ship, about 2,500 people. Well, I told Turk that our booster group would be willing to work with the quarterback club to come up with one raffle, to sell the same raffle ticket through both communities to help raise money, and where we would, you know, go to travel partners and the crews, you know, invest it. It's about $1,400, and then sell them for $10 and have some other things within the raffle, and then we would pick that night at halftime of the game, and we would, because we know each other so well, he's a very trustworthy man. But, I'm just, you know,
he is the president.
They thought it was a little funny that I was, you know, coming to, you know, to another school to try to help them, but, you know, a lot of people, like the other night at the dinner, so many people want to beat Jonathan Alder. My goal is to have someone in our community, you know, come out on top of this. You know, if it's Marysville, that's great. If it's us again, that's great. Or another school. But I would like to see, you know, that's a lot of scholarship money. And at least if you're trying to do something, then keep it within our own community. You know, we may not, but we can try. And that was one of my ideas, that we can do a joint raffle together and then have a small auction at Benny's that night. Have like each booster group have 3 premium items, whether they're Ohio State tickets or somebody might donate a condo, and then whatever money is raised there that night, you know, will go in between. And then the shirts are $10 is typically what they try to sell them for. And what we do to get out to the masses, because people get upset if you don't tell all your schools. So we always send, like right away when school starts, we send a flyer home to all the schools, and we say, okay, you know, we will be there at lunch times. You know, this is where you can get your shirts at to buy them before the game. And both years, we've sold over 700 T-shirts at our school.
Wow.
So,
kind of as the this little project goes, we've talked with Coach Cotter. We've talked with Mr. Blind to make sure they were okay with the whole idea of it. And we wanted to come to the board and make sure that it's all right with you if we go ahead and progress and moving forward.
I mean, I certainly am not. I think that sounds like an outstanding project.
We just wanted to make sure everybody was on board. You know, it's, if nothing else, to be considerate.
Well, I appreciate you coming here and telling us about it.
Yeah.
I've never been to a Jonathan Oliver school board meeting. Just, you know, it's Gary Chapman. He's our new superintendent at Alder, and he's been amazed by everything, you know, from you know, that night at that game. He didn't know what to say. You know, there was probably 20 board members there from around the state that helped do the SGC, and we had like a small tailgate for them. And then people from the James were there that helped, you know, work all the time with Stephanie's Fund. And there was also a lot of news media. You know, there was coverage before the game with some of the kids and things like that. And I think it's good for them. I mean, it's a common thing that, you know, helps them to understand that there's a little bit more in life than just a football game or, you know, what happens to be going on that day. So.
So anyway, if it's all right with you all, then we'd like to progress with this, and we can come back in July or whenever your next board meeting to let you know what all we've got planned and how the events are going to go.
That would be great. That would be great.
I need to post it on.
You know what? Actually, I appreciate the opportunity for Marysville to be part of that. I think, you know, we'd be very proud of.
Yeah, I know some of the kids. I mean, I have kids in my 4-H group that play on Marysville's football team, and so I think it'll be a good thing to work with them. I call him Turk.
Please feel free.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Was there anybody else that wanted to speak to the board at this point? No? You, young man? Okay. Just check. All right, next up then, we're going to move on to our discussion items. And first on the list is incremental tax levies.
I don't know. You want me to talk a little bit at the beginning, or Cindy? You go on the
Cindy,
she's got all of her stuff.
Yes.
This is just information on different types of levies, and on page 5 through 8, it gives the information on incremental levies. So, just to go over that a little bit, they can be 1 to 10 years for a continuing period of time. You can start with any amount. And then you can give it an increment up to 4 different increments. But the increment has to be the same amount. So if you want to start out with a 3-mil levy and then you want to do, you have a half mil, you can do a half mil 4 times. Or you can do another mil 4 times. So you start with 4 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1.
So you couldn't do like a 3-2-1?
No, you could not. It has to be the same increment at the same time. Or each year.
And it's cumulative.
It's cumulative.
So it grows.
And so if you want to renew that, if you only do it for a 5-year period, you renew it for the full amount then at that point.
Now, those increments, are they based on the valuation at the time that you voted the levy in, or is it based on the...
You can do it yourself on however you want to do that increment. You can set that increment as a... whatever you want that increment to be. So say if you want to have it, say if you want the levy to be a 3 mil at the beginning and then a 4 mil the next year and then a 5 mil the next year, it would be a 3 mil, a 1, and a 1.
No, I know, but I'm saying is that 1 based on the property values of when you voted the levy in, or if your property values went up the next year, is it based on that value?
I'm not sure.
I would have to think it would be based on when you voted it.
It's going to be voted in based on that, but I think you might, when it comes in at that point, it would be the amount at that time, because otherwise it wouldn't be any reason to do an incremental. But I don't know that.
Okay.
I'd have to find that out for you. I don't know that for sure. So... with that,
well, that would be a millage incremental. It could either be a millage incremental or a dollar incremental. You have a choice of either saying, you know, you want to do the 3, 4, 5, or you could say, I want to raise $2 million, $2,250,000, $2,500,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. It can be either one, a millage or the other one. Yeah. I asked somebody to look into some of this because of an article that was talking about Worthington schools and how Jeff McEwen had brought up the incremental as an option, and my boss was like, that's a great idea, you know, because the main purpose is to match revenue with expense. You know, when you do the flat millage, you're getting more than you need at the beginning and less than you need at the end. With an incremental, you try and match what you need at the beginning and have it grow as your expenses grow.
Your taxes go up.
Kind of like your own budget, you know.
And your taxes go up every year.
Yes.
Right. And hopefully your revenue goes up every year. But your taxes start out less than what they would if you did the flat millage at the higher amount.
And they still go up every year, right?
Yes.
Or it doesn't have to be every year. It could be
every other year.
Sure.
You know, it's however you want to set it up.
I'm just making a note that they, you know, they go up.
Yes.
They do.
So based on that information, I did some forecasts for us, just so that we were back on track since we are into fiscal year 13, and I flipped the forecast. The first one, the blue on yours, is a 4 mil, which is what we've been talking about for November of 2012. Remember that we were about $400,000 less on our ending balance, so that's going to make it a little different than what it looked like in the past. The second one, which I just did the 4.5 mil and then the 5 mil, just because those are the ones that we discussed at the last meeting.
No, you did the 4.5 mil so that we had a positive balance in 16.
Yeah, but we've talked about, yeah.
No, I know, yeah. But I'm just saying that's.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the same way in 5 mil, it gives you another positive, a little bit more positive balances. The following one is a 3 mil at the beginning, then a 1 mil, and a 1 mil. And so you have 3 mil in November of 2012, another mil in 13 would be, and then another mil in for 14. So it would be levied in the calendar years of 13, 14, 15. So that's where it would be at the end of 16. Based on numbers right now, say using our forecast, not changing anything, leaving the appropriations in there as what they are, it would leave a negative balance as of 2016.
And we would get that 5 mil in 15 and 16 as well?
Yes.
In there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I ask why a 5 mil leaves us with $1.3 million and a 6 mil leaves us with a deficit?
Yeah, because of when it is put in place.
I'm sorry. You put 6 mil in the following year.
Right.
So that's if we don't pass one this year,
it's going
next
take
year it would take a six mils to get us back up there. I got
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. And then the following one, I don't have the color, the beige, is a 3 mil with a 0.5 mil, so it'd be 3.5, and then 4 mils the following year, and we'd be have our positive balance would only go through 15.
I asked you to do that.
Yes,
that was
you
me.
Did.
I was just
you
curious how that would look.
And then the following, the last
I
one.
I just wanted to see it.
The last one is 6 mils in 2013 if we did not pass one. And so to get to where we are now, if we passed a 4 mil now, it would take a 6 mil levy next year. So it's almost 2 more mils that we need to get us to where we're going to be at if we do it for.
And that's just assuming the expenses don't change.
And we can, you know, and that right now you've got to look at that saying, okay, this is what we're looking at and going forward. Now, just because I was talking to a concerned citizen, I did. And I have in here is 0.5% earned income tax.
Hmm.
This is based on information that I received back in August of 10. We were talking just to see what income tax would be. It takes 18 months to bring it in, to get a full year's collection. So this person was saying, you know, why don't you do part income tax, part
millage,
you know, split them, do a split. So this just gives us a little bit. I don't think we've got enough to know right now as far as income tax to look at that, but I just wanted you to see what that does. This timeline on the back page that is there, it is probably as true as a timeline as I've ever seen on a tax levy. The first quarter, you would receive about 4% of what you would collect. They say 5.4%. When we did it in the one that I was involved in, it was right at the 4%. I used that percentage there, and it came out just about perfect the first 18 months for us. So, as you can see, it's going to take until you get a little bit in April. If we would pass it in November of this year, you would get a little bit of April. That would be the people that are paying with the businesses that would go in. You'd get a little bit more in July because of people, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be paying that. Get a little bit there. Get a little bit more in October and then January. And then the following April, you'd get a little bit more. And then because of April 15th, you'd get the final payments in your July payment. So that it works out. It's 18 months. You can't hurry it. You just can't hurry it. So that just gives you, I thought I'd throw that in for you too. It's just one more thing to think about.
So
so this is income tax only.
Yes.
No new
property levies.
How much millage does 0.5% earned income tax equal?
According to this, it's $3,053,000 a year.
Is that based on that, like the last year that's on here, 2008?
Yes, this would have been based on the 2009 tax information, income tax. So we'd have to call the state and get an update. But I just thought I'd use this. This is what I had right now.
Because the last thing I saw when I was doing some research was still 2010 and a half.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, you won't have. They might have 11 now. Yeah, we have 11.
That was for the last meeting. So I haven't looked on it for a month.
Yeah.
It looks like it's somewhere around three. It's under 4 mils. The value of the two.
That's what I was going to say.
That's 0.5%.
Yeah, it'd be just right under, it'd be right there, real close to 4 mils, 0.5%. And you can only do them in 0.25%. Mm-hmm. So. That gives you a little bit more to look at. Too.
Thank you for doing it. That's absolutely interesting. Sue, what did you want to add to the incremental tax levy discussion?
I just thought it was an interesting option for us to look at. I guess for myself, I like the idea of having a gradual increase and better matching your revenues with your expenses. I don't know. I think
it seems to me, if I look at that, if I read these right, it actually takes more millage to do that.
Not really, because if you look at these, if you look at the 4 mil,
right.
That left us with a negative 4 million. When you did the 3-1-1, that 3-4-5, that kind of averages just a little bit more than 4 mils, and it leaves you with a better credit balance. So I think it averages out the same.
Mm-hmm.
If we would have done a 3.5, 4, and 4.5, I'm guessing that it would have been, well, here's the deal. It depends on the timing of it. If you do 3.5, 4, 4.5, 4.5, 4.5, then you're going to have a better ending balance because the average is going to be more than 4 mils.
Right.
So I think that you end up, if you did it so that it averaged to 4 mils, you'd end up with the same ending balance. You just would be paying less in the beginning and more at the end.
Right.
And hopefully that's how your own income is in your household. That's the goal, I think, of everybody, to have gradual increases. I know it doesn't always happen, but I think it's just more of a timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think over the first 5 years, you probably, the total millage out of pocket would probably be the same, if you make it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it recognizes the fact because we always talk about you put in a millage, mm-hmm. and then your expenses
right.
are going up like this.
Right.
So, you know, we're adding $500,000 compensation next year, then it's $1 million, then it's,
right.
it's $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. So that our budget goes up considerably. Mm-hmm. We're able to afford it with a smaller millage levy because we've stocked up some cash, but then we don't have enough millage to pay for that the following year and the years after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you're saying is this kind of matches that curve,
right.
and then when you get to the top of that, then mm-hmm. you have a you know, millage moving forward that matches what your increased
right.
budget is.
Right.
So... But that ending number would be bigger. That
yes.
ending millage would be bigger moving forward in the following years.
Depending, you know, it depends. It
yeah.
just all depends on the average of your increases
right.
compared to the millage that you're proposing.
Right.
You know.
But I think you would have to do it right. You would have that ending number would have to be bigger in order for mm-hmm. that average to be the same.
Right. That's.
Yeah. And then that would, I mean, to accomplish what you're trying mm-hmm. to accomplish, it would have to be.
And then you'd renew it at 5 if it was a 3-1-1.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Section 3 in the first year would give us what we need to operate in that year.
Hmm. I'm sorry?
And so we would only put it. We would only get 3 the first year.
Well, I mean that. You know, I think that's a little low personally.
Yeah, I was
going to
say how are we going to operate on a 3.
Because so I mean I think you just. Just like what we did in our other meeting where we plugged in different numbers and looked at
right.
netting, because, you know, right here, I don't think we want to end up with a negative, as big a negative balance in 2017. So maybe instead of starting at 3, you start at 3.5 and go.
Well, you still have those other levers to play with, too, the amount of compensation that you're willing to increase that first year. And
mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of negotiated things next year that we just pick numbers that we could adjust to make that work.
Well, and I think that would be the other question. When you do this, do you have to state what your intended increases are when you sign up for an incremental levy?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
the millage rate would be set on
okay.
your levies. Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
timing of the increases
yes.
and
yes.
the amount of increases.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're thinking, let's get through negotiations.
Well, yeah.
That would be ideal, wouldn't it?
No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Got to have that in there.
Was there any other discussion on that? I think it's an interesting idea, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Just let us know what you want us to do.
I'd have sit and think pretty hard about
well,
that.
That's what I was thinking. I don't want to play with the numbers some more, but mm-hmm. I can do that. Which you example or ideas.
Yeah.
The only other, I will add just one other quick thing, but because I was
sure.
looking through that whole thing that you sent us, and I saw the conversion levy in there. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a conversion levy.
No, and there's not ever been one that's been passed in the state that
okay.
I know of.
Then forget it. That sounds like it's not very good. It's just kind of an interesting. It gives you the opportunity to convert a regular levy to more so that it's more like a emergency one, so it doesn't count toward your 20 mil floor.
Kind of a way of getting House Bill 920 out of the way.
Yeah, and it's converted as a fixed sum, so the converted millage does not increase with inflation, and it also contains provisions for hold harmless reimbursements, so it kind of saves you from the you know that. But yeah, I didn't do the. I mean, it is
that
not,
just
it's confusing.
Got,
yeah,
yes, that
okay.
was just introduced in the last.
Yeah, they said it was a new
thing, and
new.
It's not been not a single
I'm only,
one.
I'm only aware of one district that tried to pass it.
Yeah.
Failed miserably.
Yeah. Okay. It's a pretty interesting
concept,
though.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a very interesting concept.
I agree. No. All right. Was there any more on the incremental then? All right. Next up, if I look at my agenda, is homeschool students. Mr. Lassiter.
I guess what I wanted to talk about is the possibility of revisiting our policy on allowing homeschool students to participate in extracurriculars. I printed out the ONTNG policy. Just,
I did.
I don't like to do that. I always do that. I hang one out.
Hey, I don't know. If you take one for you, we'll do the work.
Yeah, I guess I'm used to being at the end, you know, and handing one over to her. That's crazy. I didn't really know what our policy was, but I have heard that it's, you know, really not hoping to homeschool students and get to enroll full time, I guess is what it came out to be. You know, and personally, I feel like, you know, when we talk about putting kids first and we talk about the importance of extracurriculars, I think that this would be something that we should be doing to better serve those students that are homeschooled. And it looks like there's a kind of a other districts in the state of Ohio. In fact, I think that the state law has kind of matches up with what Olentangy's policy is, I believe. So I guess my thought is I would like to see us adopt a policy very similar to this.
Mm-hmm. What I went on to look to see what our policy was that was referenced in the policy Diane had sent out, the IGD, and it has four consecutive classes. In order for a student to participate, she must be in attendance for four consecutive periods. The policy number is IGD.
Yeah, that's our policy thing.
I think that's what we currently have. And it hasn't been, the last time it was readapted was 2004.
But I thought I saw somewhere where we have to be full-time in the district also.
Five classes is full-time.
Got it.
Okay.
Equivalent, so that.
And I want to say your district is two, right? Your old district.
I'm kind of a tweener.
Right.
But
was two.
Two. And my district prior to moved to two.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
I'm just, do we have any history of issues here in our district? Or, you know, do we have people that have wanted to and haven't and have been... not been able to.
Mm-hmm. My conversation with Kathy and Matt and Greg, because Greg oversees homeschool students, said we keep about 100, 120 homeschool students in our district. He said he may get 1 to 2 requests a year. Okay. Matt said he knows in the past that they've had one student take advantage, but he couldn't even really remember the details, and Kathy said it's been a non-issue. Mm-hmm. At their building, and that could be very well once Greg tells them what the policy is, you know, the conversation stops there, but mm-hmm. We have not had students take advantage of the way our current policy is.
And that makes sense. I mean, I don't know how you'd be full-time and
at home school. Right. You'd be double school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Graduated so. 10. So, yeah.
Is that why you're here?
Yeah, I just want to.
Oh, I saw
but
you raise your hand.
I don't know if I
want
to say anything.
You certainly are.
Well, that's why we came. I just wanted to know. I need the policy currently. And my oldest is a sophomore right now, and I have actually 12 children, and so we're going to be here for a while. And I have ones that would be more than, they would love to do, especially sports and music or art or anything like that, but mm-hmm. I'm not willing to put them in school for, you know, 4 classes, so almost full time, like you said, basically. So I guess I'm wondering what's the purpose of having them take classes at the high school? Is it so that the school gets state money for them, or
you're talking about full time versus
just
even,
you know,
one class?
Just even one class.
Well, one class is, I think, state law.
That's state law. You have
okay.
to.
And then also, I think Ohio High School requires it, and probably so that you don't try to stack a team or something like that, I'm guessing.
This issue actually came out in front of the board about 2 years ago.
Did it?
Yeah, when we adopted the...
Yeah, I would say I was.
No, when we adopted the policy that she had sent out, she being Diane. Probably,
oh, got it.
I am here.
And really, the issue that the board had that time, and I'll be honest with you, I still continue to share that concern, is first off, if I ask you, what's her GPA right now? How would I know that? Because we have to check the GPA on a weekly basis of all of our student athletes, and in a fairness, you know, kind of deal, how are we going to apply that universally?
I could get it to you.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do you determine what her GPA is?
Well, same way as teachers do. How does she do on tests? How does she do on her
Okay, I mean, does your curriculum match our curriculum?
No.
Okay.
But her curriculum, do you have to share your curriculum with the district?
I have to share it with the district, and it's approved.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and that's fair.
Yeah.
And really, you know, it's attendance. It's more of a, in my own opinion, and again, there's four of the board members here that you can talk them up all you want, but to me, as I look at our student body, it's a fairness thing. We require those kids to show up to school every day. They have to be on time. They have to, they get their grades checked once a week. They have to do all these things we require them. And if we go to one credit, your kid, well, all due respect, your kid can come in and take gym, and now all of a sudden, it qualifies to take care of to participate in those extracurricular activities. Where the rigor of all of our other students that do it, it's not a one to one, where I see it. Now, it may not have to be five, but it certainly isn't. From where I sit, it's not going to be one.
I think that as homeschoolers, we have to turn in either their state testing every year, or they have to be evaluated by a certified teacher every year. And we do have to turn in the curriculum, which is approved by Greg. And I mean, we have their grades. And so I don't think that I think our kids do the same thing. That you can't. I mean, homeschoolers in general. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we do it, is because it's not a cut and dry. It's not one teacher teaching a whole classroom. So we have to keep it cut and dry to say, okay, grade anyway.
So, look, I have
more flexibility.
I'm not taking offense. I'm just
I have the utmost respect for people who want to homeschool their kids. I'm telling you because I imagine that a lot of our homeschoolers have a far more rigorous curriculum than they get in school. But
let's put this there then. So let's say the majority do. Let's just say that. Okay. That's the possibility.
All right.
So we're going to deny those kids an opportunity to do extracurricular activities because there might be a one-off situation where the kids aren't doing, the parents aren't doing. I mean, that's my, I guess my.
What I'm saying is you made a choice to homeschool your kids.
Right.
With that choice, you made other choices about doing extracurricular activities in the school.
There are
choices that go with that. I mean, that's.
Well, and I guess I'm getting at a point is I think if our district truly wants to represent the best interests and all the interests of all the kids in our district, then why force parents to make that choice? I mean, parents make that choice for a lot of different reasons.
No question.
So why are we forcing them to make the choice between denying their kids the opportunity to extracurriculars or sending them to public schools that they may not want to, for other reasons, may not want to do? They may want to homeschool.
Especially when they get to pay the taxes, too.
I'm sure we'll be putting... I mean, we'll be asking them to support us in our next levy too. So I just don't understand. I guess
that's just my point. Okay. I mean, the four of you may have a completely different one. I totally respect that. That's my point
sure.
of view.
No,
and I would ask, I'd love to hear from we, as usual, you and I have shared
right,
our opinions.
I'm sorry.
what's your thoughts?
Well, and I'm going to lean towards what you're saying on that. I do believe that there has to be some participation because we absolutely make requirements. The other side is going to come back and say, but that's not fair. They don't have to be here every day. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do that. So now we get into this battle that's going to go back and forth. Plus, when you were talking about the funding, well, now we got to look at it too. Sometimes the school pays part of that sport and the parents pay part.
Right.
Are we going to say you have to pay the whole part plus the insurance for that particular child? Why would we, as a school, if they are not in there, take on the financial?
Because we're paying the taxes for you to do that.
But you live in the system and have chose not to put them in.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it was your own choice.
Right, but you're still getting my money, even though... I mean, I'm not trying to...
Right.
I'm just saying, you're still getting my money,
right.
Whether or not my kids do it.
Right.
And, and so I don't think that's really an issue, but maybe it is. Maybe I just don't understand that. Is the school getting other... I mean, I know they're getting state money,
mm-hmm.
but the money that you're talking about, aren't I...
Well, we're
not
getting paid for your children, because they're not in there.
You mean state money.
The state money.
State money.
Okay.
Right.
So we are paying part of the money because the levies and all the stuff. But
the property tax.
But well, you're going to pay that anywhere you go. You know,
right, I agree. I'm
about to say, I mean, I pay those taxes, too.
Yeah, and
no, I know. My mom pays them.
And I do them, and, you know, it's just part of life. We're all going to pay taxes no matter where we go.
Oh, absolutely.
But I do believe that there has to be, you know, if we change this up, I do believe there has to be some accountability on your end of having your children involved other than just the extracurricular.
I just want to toss this in there. I did notice, and then I was reading an article, and I'll send it out later.
Sure.
They were talking about just a very, it usually ends up being a very low number
it
of
is.
People that actually right. take advantage of it.
It is. There's so, no question. I don't want to blow it up into here because there's really not that many people that are going
to. So I would imagine we'd be able to monitor those situations, I would think, a little bit more if we thought there was an issue with unfairness.
Right.
Anyways. You have a lot more elementary age homeschool kids than high school age homeschool
right.
kids.
Right.
There's probably not.
Sue, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just thinking from the kids' point of view, the kids on the team or kids in show choir. And you know, my daughter was in show choir, and it's highly competitive. And you know, if a homeschooled child was accepted into show choir, and someone who goes to school full time doesn't make it. What kind of problems is that going to cause, you know, for the, and I mean, that's just, I don't know, I mean, that's something that you would have to face anyway, but I guess that's just kind of what comes to my mind, just some of those issues that you would deal with, and how would you deal with
that? Can we check with the districts that have that policy and see if they have some of the things that we're anticipating to be issues and see if those issues really exist?
Right, yeah, I mean, because I think our community is very accepting. You have kids that play on travel teams from different schools, and they get along great, you know.
I have a friend who has, they go to Fairbanks, or they're in that district, mm-hmm. and her daughter does stuff at Fairbanks, so if you check it out, that might be one.
Okay. I've already started that. I'm just waiting for that information to come in and get contacted. But I did not contact Fairbanks. I'd be happy to do that and see what kind of information.
Yeah. I mean, I think that as far as, you know, like you say, you're paying the taxes and that kind of stuff, I would definitely want to check the entire financial picture to make sure that, you know,
And again, I'll just reiterate, it may not have to be five, but it's definitely going to be more than one.
Is
all I'm saying. I mean, I'm not hard locked in five, but it's going to be.
So the reason that you want more than one is so that they're
participating. I want to make sure that they're that it's a one-to-one. It's an equal expectation that we're giving to universally to all of our athletes. Or I'm sorry, all of our participants in extracurricular. Apologize.
You know,
I had band kids, so I know.
And another thing is just they spend a little bit of more than just one period here is getting to know them too. You know, because when you're participating on something and you have a coach or a advisor. I think it's pretty important that they know the kid. You know, they know, they understand their personality.
And sports, too, that they can go full-time High Point, not have a single class here.
Yeah, so they don't know that.
Yeah. I'm just...
Yes, but their grades are checked on a weekly basis.
I understand. I'm going back to the whole, you know...
I will tell you, I did a little research on it, and Port Clinton actually has a very interesting write-up in their district on homeschoolers about, and I mean, it's a two-page list of stuff that, you know, look, we're not going to provide transportation for you. You are not going to get a diploma from the school. It's this.
Right.
And it kind of really puts a lot of thought into that. Somehow they must have run into some kind of issue because they changed their policy, but it's very specific about.
Well, they probably just handed it to a lawyer.
Well, that's
really good.
Yeah.
Anticipating all the
possibilities. So you know, you may want to take a look at that if you're considering changing that. But it's. But Mrs. Greer, we would love to hear your opinion.
Well, I don't see any problems with the way that the Ohio Revised Code is written. If that's what the requirement is, along with Ohio High School as it being one credit, then I'm okay with that. And I don't see the issue over money because, what is it, the extracurricular activities can only be 0.5% of the total budget of the school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it, you know, costs that the district is spending that much money.
Right.
And the pay-to-participate fees, the way it's structured, is not done in a fair way anyway. I mean, that's it's not based upon cost.
Right, the actual
it's just,
cost of the
it's
activity.
Based upon...
Right, if you're a Marysville athlete, this is what it costs to be a Marysville
athlete.
Even
though that may only cost $15 per student to do track and $1,000 for golf or swimming, you're paying $200 anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So
that's the way it works.
The fee that's assessed is not based upon any... mathematical equation.
It's not well, it is. It's just not based on an individual cost per sport.
Okay, well, that's another discussion that we had a while ago.
Okay.
That would kind of...
All right, then.
I just think it's important to keep in mind the logistics. Like, as a former high school principal, the thought of trying to... And you're right, it's probably not that many kids, but the thought of trying to manage everything that goes into making sure an athlete is eligible and making sure there isn't a consequence for an entire team based on... so there have to be, that's why I started making calls. There have to be schools that have already considered that or have some, and that's what I'm interested in because we certainly wouldn't want to, you know, make a mistake that jeopardizes.
Right. I think it certainly is worth looking at what's happening with other schools like Olentangy who has what appears to be the minimum requirements of the code and the Ohio High School.
Okay.
To see how they do it and how do they make sure that everything is done properly so they're not in violation.
Right. So where do we want to go with this then?
We need more information.
Yeah, we need more information.
Okay. Well, I would say, get more information, but I would like to have this on the policy on the agenda over the next month or in July, if not July, August. But
rookie, we have policy stuff coming up quickly, right, in the fall.
Yeah. I guess my thinking is if we're going to make a policy change, it would be nice to do it before.
They can't do it now because they have to be – the state says they have to be in the district. What is that?
One this school year.
No, I thought they had to be in there last year. At the end of last year they had to be in.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fine.
One year prior.
Yeah, it's either 1 year prior. They would have had to be in
last year.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. I must have read that wrong, but I'm fairly certain.
My
son is schooled from home school at the beginning of the school year after having been homeschooled for at least one calendar year.
Yeah.
So maybe having been homeschooled for one.
Yeah. They didn't want somebody to say, "Oh, I'm a homeschooler now."
Now I can play for Fairbanks.
Yeah. So that's why I read it. But, anyways, research and. It would be nice to just get an up or down on a policy this summer if we can.
All right. Well, I'll send you the research I've got.
Okay.
And it'll be to find out what you have found out from other school districts.
Right. I just really started asking the question yesterday after you and I had emailed back and forth. So I also contacted just some principals just to get that side of it. Sometimes it's really easy to say, well, it works like this, and it's great,
right.
But the logistics are different.
Yeah, I would be curious, what the process is for what they, and, you know, is that add an additional burden? You know, if it's one kid, it probably isn't, but if it's 10 kids, is that all of a sudden add, you know, more than one person could manage?
Can I ask, do you have a feel for how many families would be interested in having their kids involved?
I don't know, obviously, all the homeschoolers in Marysville, but maybe 2-3 families at the most that I know might possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I think about it, one of those is in Fairbanks as well.
Okay.
So I don't think it would be a lot.
That's my sense from Greg, and he's kind of the filter, and said that maybe 1-2 requests. Some years he doesn't get any, and most has been 2.
And that's something we could, I mean... This is a policy that we could change later if it ends up becoming an issue, you know.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to do it to the homeschoolers who then we let in and then we change the policy back and say,
I'm just thinking, you know, you got 1 or 2 students coming in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine you'd be back for another meeting, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be as delightful as you are tonight.
It's fine. You guys do a great job and there's tons to do. So.
That's funny. All right. All right, so are we good on that?
Yes.
Okay. Next up is the discussion on the meetings with the Drug-Free Youth Coalition and the City and County Drug Task Force.
Okay. I went to a strategic planning session on June 11th. The meeting was held to put together kind of an overview to put together community data, to collect data and activity going on, and to brainstorm about putting committees together.
Yeah. Who is it? Who took part in this meeting?
Oh my gosh, Sheriff Patton.
I mean, I just meant what entities? What entities? You don't have to name anyone.
Law enforcement.
Okay.
And John Gore,
okay.
The mayor. You know, so it's like some of the core people.
Okay.
In the city. All right. Before the meeting, they conducted a community leader survey that they sent to 245 individuals. About 42% responded. Some of the results on substance abuse concern, 100% of the respondents felt that preventing substance abuse among youth was important. 67.3% said that their personal concern for substance abuse prevention has increased. 64% indicated that substance abuse among the youth was a big problem, and 70% indicated that they were very concerned about the substance abuse going on among our youth. So what we did is we kind of strategically worked on some internal and external plans to increase awareness for the community involvement. And some of the areas that I have been asked to help with in coalition with us and the schools and all, is education pieces with the school board for youth and parents, okay, to start educating. My suggestion to them was, you know, we can't wait until they're in high school. We can't wait until they're in middle school. They need to be educated in grade school, because by the end of grade school, they're already being approached. They're being approached in grade school, okay? So, you know, we think, oh, they're too young to learn this. No, they're not. You know, this is reality, and you know, we all talked about it, and one of my biggest things is, you know, we want to try to kind of shield the children, and we can't shield them anymore, you know. You know, when they're shooting up in the schools and things like that, by the time they get to high school, we need to catch them down in the grade school level. So, also... they asked me to put together, and this is something I need to speak with Diane about, working with the authorities in school situations, with the dogs, that type of thing, implementing more checks, working directly with law enforcement, and putting together plans that we start clearing it out and start putting our no tolerance type of issues into effect. And then to increase youth-to-youth program, okay? They've got a youth-to-youth program, and we need to get a lot more involvement with that with the kids. We need to find a youth-to-youth program leader, okay, where we will have programs after school where youth-to-youth will come together, and they, in turn, will create programs for drug-free situations, that type of thing. So it's very interesting. I think that we've got a very good core group of people that are really ready to dig in and put their heels into this thing, because I think people now are starting to realize what a huge problem we have. You know, I don't think it can be swept under the carpet anymore.
So what can we do to help support that?
Well, I would like to maybe put together where we invite Sheriff Patton and Chief Golden in. And
that'd be great.
Talk with them. I wanted to schedule a meeting, and I wanted to schedule a meeting with Diane. And they are more than willing to sit down and talk and see how we can be a big input in this and start putting it all together and work hand in hand.
You mean for them coming to one of our school board meetings or a different kind of a meeting?
You know, I don't know how. It's how we want to structure it.
Okay. That may be more of a working session kind of meeting, because
yeah.
It sounds like it would be more than a 20-minute discussion.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't mind us being there. I'm just wondering if it makes more sense for them to work with the administration, Diane's, and then have them come to us, and if there's anything that needs board approval, I would think.
I would kind of like to be aware of what's going on. So.
Yeah, or be updated on it.
I would like to
sit in on it
anyway.
Well, and the thing is, we can start out where I can set up an appointment with Diane to begin with, and you and I can have an appointment with them, and then see where they want to go from there.
Sounds great.
I wasn't suggesting
okay.
That I don't want to talk.
No. I know what you're
we
saying.
We can't make operational decisions.
No.
So
I know.
Most of this stuff would be.
I know exactly what you're saying.
The building type
operational
of
decisions.
Right.
However,
I'll just
important.
Start out then and put the connection together with Diane and the chief and the sheriff, and then we will go from there, and then let it expand out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just it appears that they're going to make a lot of changes here. They actually had someone come in to start breaking down the areas, the internal, the external, how they're going to put together a website. I mean, they want to train parents as well and educate parents as well as the children. So it's a whole, you know, a whole scoop that is going to be kind of encircled around. So it sounds like a lot of good things are going to happen with this.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, really, whatever any one of us can do to jump in, just, okay. You know, let me know.
Okay.
Or let them know. Not just me. Okay, thank you. When's your next meeting?
They're going to let us know. They have not set one yet. Right now, they're only doing 4 meetings a year, which I don't think is enough. So that's my next step, is to say. But they are going to have a steering committee that they are putting together, which will meet in the daytime. And I truthfully think that they need to meet every other month. Now, I know that's a lot of commitment, but again, we're going to set our own plan together as far as the schools go. Mm-hmm. So we can meet with them as often as we want. You know what I, you know, I mean, sure. That's going to be a part of this youth coalition. But at the same time, it will be a separate part, even though we're working with them hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the areas that was the big thing is working with the schools and with the law enforcement.
We talk about, you know, how we used to do the drug testing, and then because of budget cuts, we got away from that. Is mm-hmm. there any talk about trying to...
Actually, it's my understanding there may be a grant available to help pay for that.
Okay. And I think that's something we need to look into.
Sure, yeah.
And, I believe
there is a grant to
someone's
apply for.
Working on that.
Okay, that's awesome.
It's my understanding, but I think we should continue to look at it. But it's my understanding.
Right.
There's a grant like where you did some research.
I did some research.
In fact, I think that the manufacturer does it, right?
And Pleasant had applied for it, and had it completely funded. The district didn't have to pay anything, and they were. Not only were they testing kids for extracurricular and activities, if you wanted a parking pass, you got tested. And they tested a lot of different aspects.
So maybe I can start looking
into some grants. And one was scheduled and one was random. And like I said, the district didn't have to pay for it at all.
Yeah, I'll see what we're already applying for and then see what else is out there.
You may talk to the mayor.
Who?
The mayor.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that certainly because I've gotten word from some other surrounding counties and everything that this isn't going away. I mean, their numbers are jumping and so are ours. I mean, this is not, you know, heroin is so cheap, and this is the drug that's killing them. I mean, it will absolutely, it's the most wicked drug I've ever seen on the market, and it's not going away anywhere soon, so...
So our next steps will be to get together
yep.
and move forward.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, good. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up is the May 24th, 2012 regular meeting minutes. In addition to that, the June 5th, 2012 special meeting minutes. And I believe there was one modification
yes.
to the which minutes? The special
May 24th.
May 24th.
It was Mr. Lassiter. Yes. Report on High Point,
correct. And did an excellent job. Was there any other modifications to the minutes then, besides the one noted by Ms. Ritter? If not, then I need a motion to approve those then, please.
So be it.
Second, moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers,
yes.
Mr. Mabee,
yes.
Ms. Greer,
yes.
Ms. Devine,
yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the treasurer action items. I need a motion to approve items A through E on the treasurer CFO action items, please.
So moved.
I need a second, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion.
I think they're all pretty there. We've closed out the year. Transfers, we need to transfer that money to... have the bond retirement in the stay that in the black and the ed job to get that back in the black and
improve temporary appropriations.
Temporary appropriations are as the same as what we
in the book, the orange
in the book.
Book
last week, gotcha. Or last month.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Ms. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the superintendent action items A through T, obviously with the exception of Q, then please. Second, moved in seconds. Any comments from the superintendent?
Not at this time. I have one question. I did not realize we had books to review last in May. The foreign language, the French course book, do you happen to know, is that a textbook or is that just a workbook for students taking
them? They're right there.
So I wonder, because there was only eight. I mean, is that a full class? Is that considered a full class for
it's
French 4?
It's AP French 4.
It's small enrollment. Yeah. Would be my guess.
Is that it? Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Ms. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, then I need a motion to approve item Q out of the superintendent action items for supplemental contracts, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
No discussion?
I'm sorry. Is there any discussion? Thank you. Hearing none, can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
There's only two of us left.
I know. I can't do this on the fly. Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Abstain. Motion carries. All right, then, item 10, is there any final comments from the board going from my right to the left, Mrs. Powers?
No.
Mr. Lassiter.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
It's that awkward silence. That pregnant silence.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. Yes, all right.
Sorry. This is just a little... I've heard this, so I better share it. I guess Honda, and I want to say some other company, is working with the Hope Center to help pay for school supplies for, I don't know if it's just for certain people or if it's for, you know, whatever the case may be. And then there was some scuttlebutt over there about, you know, in the past, some parents not being able to afford school supplies and then getting nasty letters about making their kids feel really bad because they didn't show up with the school supplies. And so I don't know the truth of it or anything like that. I
do know that United Way does a big thing every year at the first of the year, and they drop stuff off at each one of the elementaries. I do know that. And typically, so if you don't have them, then...
Sure. And then so I'm just tossing out everything that was
laid at your feet.
Yeah. And so the other thing was, and then it's, you know, obviously some of these parents mentioned things about supply cabinets being full of the same supplies that they were being asked to bring. And I know at one of our board meetings last year, I want to say we had a similar discussion along this topic where they had plenty of supplies, and I think even Larry says, yeah, I don't even send my kids with all the supplies. So I think my request would be is, you know, could we at least make sure that when we're asking for supplies in the next coming year that they're actually needed? And I'm sure that they are. I'm just saying that concern's out there, and these companies are stepping forward to...
Sure.
And as I say all that, I'm thinking, well, maybe I should just said that offline with Diane.
That probably, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll have that conversation, no problem.
All right.
Got it.
Write that down on your list of to-dos.
It's on.
Was there anything else on your list, sir?
No.
All right. Ms. Devine.
I was just thinking I wanted to comment, in case you did not read the newspaper article about the coffee that we had, where Mayor Gore was generous enough to give us some time to talk about our potential levy. And I just wanted to say how I think that went very well, and thought it was a nice write-up.
Yes, I actually saw him in a couple of meetings since then. I thanked him a couple times for allowing us to do that. He was very generous with his time. So.
And we're on schedule to have a community.
Actually, I was going to cover that in my comments.
Okay,
yes.
then I will defer.
All right. Ms. Greer?
I do. And I can't find it. Our fiduciary duty workshop.
Yes, right. That was on my list too.
I had sent an email out to the board members asking them what they thought about inviting other board members to attend the session.
Uh-huh.
Because at like 11 o'clock at night, I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Isn't it always?
But most people the next morning didn't think it was so, so brilliant. Except to maybe, as Sue suggested, maybe just like the North Union.
That's what I was thinking. If we could do our Union County schools, maybe even John Alder, because they were kind of Union County.
I had Fairbanks, Jonathan Alder.
Just because this is something I have never seen anybody have before. I mean, I've never seen any of the seminar or workshops offered by OSB or who typically does give this kind of thing. I thought it would be beneficial if they were interested in coming.
The only thing, again, my only concern was we have a meeting right after that.
Right.
So, you know, if they have questions that are going to push us, we're going to have to stop and tell them to get out of the hall.
You can be your charming self and say you're not allowed to ask questions.
Yes, we've invited you to listen.
Only we're the payers, right? You can sit and listen, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you may listen, but not ask questions.
No, I have no problem with offering it to our Union County folks. I don't.
I think we want to network with them anyways. I mean, I thought that was one of our goals is to see if there are there things that we
and
can
so that 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 would be okay with me if it is with.
Yeah, I have no problem with
that. So, are they going to be included talking about their borders, or is it going to be all about us and they're just listening?
They're going to be listening, and what I expect this to be is he's just basically giving us an overview of what our fiduciary duties are, not us as Marysville Board, but as school
as
board
school
members.
Board.
Okay, so what is our cost involved in this with this gentleman? Does anybody know the cost?
Hourly, whatever it's costing per hour for him to be here.
Okay.
And which so is like $225 or $250.
Probably preparation.
Yeah.
He doesn't already
Exactly.
Well, I'm just wondering if maybe we couldn't let them participate. And another thought is to split the costs.
Sure.
I think I like that idea is that, you know, if we're going to have four different things, why can't we all four cut
the
cost?
We coordinate it and you
we'll
just
take care of it, but you just pay your fourth of the cost. If we're going to have four schools or whatever. And
again, my only concern is we have a meeting afterwards, so I want to make sure we're not here for 3 hours at a seminar.
I just thought, you know, that they could sit on it, and it's not something that we have.
It's something we're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's recorded. They can listen to it.
And that would be fun.
Sometimes just the networking pop, potential as well to see somebody face-to-face.
Sure.
And say,
And again, I don't know how many of them would
that date in the summer.
However you want to do it, I would limit it to Union County, to be honest with you. And if we would do that, you know, it may be a sit and listen because, again, it's part of a bigger board meeting than we have. But I think they would get a lot out of it. Right. I mean, I really do. And I think the opportunity for us to network with the other board members would be.
It's fair to tell them that up front.
Yes.
We're going to go right into a meeting, so there's really no Q&A.
Right.
Is the time we have, but we'd like to invite you if you're interested in the hearing.
Yeah,
and then we pay for it because we're not really letting them, they're all they're doing is listening, but if we were going to have where their participation, then I think that they would need to come in on some of the costs.
And then, you know, that may lead to some other of those type of, shared things in the future.
And
so
I think that's a great deal, you know, bringing that network together where we can share costs if we do things like that. And it benefits everybody in Union County.
And the cost is going to be pretty minimal.
Yeah, but I'm saying even at that, if we put together another one where we have a six-hour, you know what I mean, or something, you know, where an all-day thing where everybody comes together, I mean, it's great to be able to share those costs.
Sure. It would, because I would imagine what this is going to end up costing us is going to be significantly less than even sending a couple of us to, like, a half-day OSBA.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you have anything else?
I did. Well, no, I did not.
You did not?
No.
Getting mixed signals.
I know. I was going to talk about that, but
okay.
I just got that.
All right. Then my only thing is I just wanted to remind everyone that we are having a community meeting on July 12th
It'll be at Bunsold at 7 o'clock in the auditorium, and it's basically to discuss our financial plan and kind of present all that out, you know, at the three parts of our financial plan, the same as you folks did at the breakfast with the mayor. I believe it'll be the four of us.
I may be a little bit late.
That's all
right.
But
I will definitely be there. Okay. Our office administrator is retiring, and they have set this day for his kind of a reception.
So. Okay. And I would also remind those folks listening on the black box, if you have any questions about our financial plan or whatever, we have set up an email address, financial.questions@marysville.k12.ohio.us. So
and that goes to
and that actually goes to the entire goes okay. to the board and to
the governance team.
Well, sometimes people don't know what the governance team is, but yes, the governance team is the treasurer, superintendent, and the board.
No, the board plus the individual, the office.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. We'll send so, email just to see if we get through.
That's a good idea.
So, again, it's open to the public, and we would welcome anyone.
Yeah, you've all answered a question if you received it.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, did I? I must have.
Yes. You all got the answer.
The letter.
I recall doing
an external email.
Okay, any comments from the superintendent?
No, just excited to be here.
Happy to have you.
Finally. Yay! Kind of. Yes. Not totally here, but we're almost here.
Cindy, any comments?
Close enough.
Okay, then I need a motion to adjourn then, please.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Power.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes, we are adjourned.